Hello, hello everyone, welcome to the most real game in town, House of Games. Today I'm joined by a man who does not identify himself as a video game slash entertainment medium, Mr. Otto! But if that was not enough, he ain't playing solo in this game we are currently living in. I'm here too. Enter the arena, Mr. Rune. But before you dear listeners slash viewers wonder too much about what I'm babbling about, let us play start on this week's episode of House of Games.
Welcome everyone to House of Games and our newest episode. So this time it's actually take two. We recorded and failed, but don't worry. We're here again just for you, making sure that there is actually an episode every week. So this time I thought we were gonna talk about the definition of a video game, what a game in itself is. So I have an idea for myself. Rune, do you have an idea or a guess, or what's your definition of a game?
No, and worth mentioning is that we are not recording the same episode that we did, the one that failed. This has happened in the past, and then we just dropped it and moved on, and we will probably revisit the one we recorded yesterday later on.
Yeah.
And then we went through our document, and it was we both sort of laughed a little bit about this this note that one of us wrote in episode 32. We had a guest who had made 200 games. and then in the notes, one of us had written, if this person had done 200 games, what is a game? And then, for example, I have made 4 games, and that took me, 5, 6, 7 years. And how can a person make 200 games? Listen to that, episode 32. I forget this gentleman's name on top of my head, but that was a fun episode. Nonetheless, it was a fun thing to read in the notes, and we had written that, what is a game? So we thought, well, let's make an episode about that. So, but as we just discussed before we started recording, I can't quite think of anything. I don't even know what we meant by that back when we wrote that note. So please, Odo, if you have any definition of what a game is or how we can sort of kick off this episode, the mic is yours.
Sure, and I think a game to me, at least. So I think it's interesting because the word has a different meaning in Swedish and in English. So in English it's the same word, but in Swedish it's the sort of game that is a card game or a video game or something is different from playing that kind of sort of game. So going by the English definition, I guess, then I think anything that would be considered, I think, interactive in some way, and probably that you can win or gain something from it. I was thinking first that maybe the definition is that you can lose it or something like that, but thinking about that, have you played Garry's Mod?
No.
So it's sort of a sandbox game for the Half-Life games. So what it is that you basically, it's all almost like a level editor for Half-Life. So you can just, you start on, just pick a map and then it's just completely empty and then you can just spawn in assets and do what you want with them and, you know, do all kinds of things like level editing and stuff. Like that, and that's the whole like game. But I was thinking, if that sort of doesn't have a challenge, then is it not a game? But I guess then it has also multiplayer features, so I guess then at least the multiplayer section would be considered a game, because you know, you control on servers and stuff, and you can make that a sort of a game, or you could sort of challenge yourself to build something, or but I guess so. Just I think maybe the interactive part and that you can interact with others makes it a game. And I think the thing that I'm, if anything would be considered not a game, then I would say, for example, walking simulators feels to me not like a game, but rather like a museum almost. Like, you don't, if it were a movie instead or just recorded gameplay, nothing would change. Maybe, I guess you could say, if there is some puzzle or something, then, like it would be with Myst, the difficulty would be part of the game, like your experience is going to be unique depending on how difficult it was for you to solve this or that puzzle or something like that. But usually it's just go here, press E, go there, press E, and then there's just a voiceover that, you know, sobs about something. Usually.
Do you have any walking sims in particular you're thinking about? I have played two, but go ahead. Do you have any one in particular you're thinking about?
So I think, yeah, the first one that I really, the first walking sim that I played, that it was before walking simulator was a term, I think. So it's called Dear Esther, if I remember correctly. And when I saw the trailer and stuff, it was a lot of, the content was about story and stuff, and at the time there was no like characters or anything in the trailer, so I didn't think about that because I had never played that walking sim before. So I thought, oh man, this is gonna be a great game. I love story. This is gonna be amazing. And then when I played it, it's just pushing W and then you're staring it through the level. And it's not like it's a 10-minute thing. Like, 2-3 hours, like, in it, I'm thinking, like, where is the gameplay? I'm waiting here for something to do. But I was thinking, you know, maybe it's an intro section, there's some story. And then, you know, it goes longer and longer, and you sort of have patience because you're longing for to have some story or something. But it just never comes. And so that was the first, you know, when I really started getting disappointed with walking simulators, I guess. But another better example of it is, what is it called? Is it not Beginner's Guide? It's The Stanley Parable. Have you played that?
No, it is so weird. The types of games we play seems to be, we don't seem to play games, the same games at all.
Yeah, absolutely. That, but that's sort of what makes this a fun duo, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Garry's Mod, not Garry's Mod. What was it called? Not Beginner's Guide. It was called the Stanley Parable. Anyhow, so that's a walking simulator, I would say. But I would call that a game, more of a game than... so I guess, to answer the question, there is a spectrum. It's not a binary, but rather, like, how much of a game is it? If we were talking about video games, at least. And I think the Stanley Parable goes very high on that, or this way, depending on where you're looking, on that scale, because so that works in the way that it's not just you go from A to B and then it's just a linear path. There's always these lines that the narrator is gonna say, and you know, but rather it's super clever. So in my mind, at least, so the way it works is you go through an empty office, and then the narrator says something about it. He narrates the main character. And then you come to a set of two doors, and he says, and then Stanley, the main character's name, walked through the door on the right. And you can do that. But you can also walk through the door on the left. And then, after walking a couple of meters, he just teleports you back and says, okay, let's try this again. He walked through the door on the left, and then you go to the right. And then you can sort of defy the narrator as you go, and he gets more and more pissed. Or there's one section with a broom closet where you can just go in there, there's nothing there, and you could just stand there, and the narrator sort of gets frustrated that you just won't move through the story. And then eventually you start over the level, and then he has boarded up the broom closet. And there's like tons of these like hidden... I mean, I thought it was going to be like, oh, this is going to be a fun thing that's going to take an hour to play. But I think I played that for maybe 10 hours.
Wow.
And I'm still not sure I've gone through all of the paths, because as you go, you have all of these choices to go this door or that door. You could just jump off the path, and you know, there's a lot of fun things. So I think the uniqueness perhaps is what makes it more of a game. That a movie, you could, like, by the frame, you could define exactly this is the movie. Exactly these frames, exactly this audio, whatever. This is the movie. But a game, it feels like it has to be different, at least for every person who plays it. That it, you know, it's either difficulty or challenge or something has to be different with it, I guess.
I'm just thinking, like, for me to play those games where there are too many options, that's like a warning sign, like my sort of OCD where I want to tick things off. But it's funny because I'm making a game now which I really want you to just play it once and maybe put it away for a couple of years and come back and play it again and have a completely different experience because of all the choices and stuff. And even the way I design some quests and so on at this point is that they trigger based on stuff you've done. So, and I can imagine someone like me who want to have everything sort of lists and stuff, like you have to do this, that's going to maybe drive them nuts. But hopefully a player won't even know that. So you just play it and then these side quests and so on are being triggered naturally and you won't even know that you have missed 10 side quests. But you can't miss anything. The idea is that you should always be able to do everything. But anyway, my point is it sounds like a game that will be quite challenging for me to play, but it sounds really cool, though, with this whole narrator thingy. I think there's... I have played a game... I love the theme music for Transistor. I mentioned that on this podcast before. I love listening to that theme, that music. And they made Hades. I think that has a narrator, but I can't remember now. But I've heard about a game with a narrator like the one you described. It's probably the one you talked about. But I was going to give a little bit of a walking sim experience from me. And that's the two walking sims I played is Firewatch and Gone Home. So these two games are way more mainstream, I would say. I think they're quite mainstream because I heard about both of them from, like, Kinda Funny podcast, and that's a little bit more mainstream podcast. I would say one of the bigger ones. So I was sort of recommended playing these games by listening to those podcasts, and then I played Firewatch. So that was my first walking sim. So I never played anything like that before, and I wasn't quite sure what to expect. But the way I played it, I was in Sweden during the summer, and I went to our summer house in the middle of nowhere, and I started playing this game. And it is damn spooky. I don't know if it's intended to be a spooky game, but I was so scared sitting there playing this alone. And even though it's a walking sim, I think I said this many times when the first scene in Half-Life, when you look in a direction, you may miss something. Or you see this professor standing there. I'm actually playing Black Mesa, the one you recommended right now. But you can look to the left and then he's standing there. But if you didn't look to the left, you didn't see him. Or there's these robots that walk through and you're just sitting in this gondola going through this factory, right? And you can miss everything if you look down to the floor. And I think these things are so cool. And that's my experience with Firewatch, that at least I don't think it's scripted. It felt very natural that I was walking out of this. Have you ever played it or heard about it?
Yeah, I've been wanting to play it, but I haven't.
Okay, well, I won't spoil it. But anyway, I walk out from a place and I look up and then it was something there. And it felt extremely natural that I saw that because I looked up. Maybe it was scripted and triggered by the circumstances, but it felt supernatural that I saw that because I did that. And yeah, I thought it was super spooky. And then So I had a really good experience with that. So my first taste of walking sims were really good. And then I played Gone Home and I didn't like it at all, even though I think that's a little bit more popular game. It's a more popular game than Firewatch, maybe. But I do think, well, you know me a little bit nowadays, Oda, and I'm sort of into conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I think that's fun. So I think maybe that's why Firewatch felt more like a game for me than Gone Home. I can barely remember what Gone Home was about. And I also have a feeling that there was a lot of reading in Gone Home. And for me, yeah. When I play video games, sometimes I'm just not in the mood of reading anything. But
yeah,
and I think some of, a lot of it is also voice acted in Gone Home, but there's also parts you have to read by yourself, if I remember correctly. Maybe it's not that's the case. Maybe that's not the case, but nonetheless, it did not click with me at all. And after that sort of turned me off on walking sims. And I actually tried one more, which I think is a walking sim, but I can barely remember what the name is. Something with the Elon Fitch, something along those lines. I think the premise is that you are totally alone in a village and everyone is gone. The Finding of Elon Fitch, I feel it's a Chinese
Yes,
developer.
What Remains of Edith Finch.
Okay, there we go. So yeah. I started playing that one, but this was after Gone Home and I just didn't feel like it. However, I would like to go back to that one and see if it would work better this time around. Because that's the thing with games.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't click and then you can go back and it works just fine. But that's my experience with walking sims. And I guess I disagree in terms of, I do think they are games, but I suppose then again, it's all about that spectrum you mentioned. And also what I was thinking about as you were talking was these graphic novels, which are huge here in Japan. And that's how I started making the Red Colony games, because I thought, man, I want to play these graphic novels that are all over Japan. But my Japanese is so bad, so I can't be bothered to play them and read everything. But those games are, you know, there's no gameplay whatsoever. It's just dialogues and then options and options and options. So what are those in that? I guess interactive book, because you have options, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is it a game? I feel that's more like a stretch than walking sims, because the graphic novels are literally just text and pictures.
Yeah, good question. But I think also there's another layer to games, I suppose, that there is the spectrum of how much of a game they actually are, and then there is the spectrum of how they're perceived, I think. So I think with walking sims, maybe they are games. I'm not 100% convinced, but I would say also that the perception... I've played Gone Home as well, actually, but the perception is sort of, to me, at least, I haven't made this game, so take this with a grain of salt. I'm just some schmuck sitting on the internet, so my thoughts are not facts, but to me it feels a little bit lazy to do like a walking sim, with the exception of Stanley Parable, I guess, because... To me, it feels like you've done the story, you've done the environment, you've done a lot of the functionality, but you just forgot to like implement the final piece, which is like the actual gameplay.
Mm.
So I don't know if you would, depending on the story and context and stuff, what if you would take Gone Home or something, and then you would maybe do something like, you have a cat that you have to keep alive for the whole game, and then, you know, you have to get food for it, or you have to, empty the litter, I don't know, something.
Hmm.
Then you would just add a little bit of gameplay to that, sort of distract you from the story, so then you sort of have to keep both of those rolling at the same time to progress in the story while you have to do this gameplay part. And then you would have what I would say is like a fully fledged game, so why not just do that? Because it feels like, to me, it feels like especially when there's no, it's a walking sim.
Mm.
Okay, fine. There's only story. Okay, I guess fine. But then there's very little voice acting, or it's not completely voice acted. Okay, so you skipped out on the gameplay part, and then you skipped out on the voice acting. So you just, you know, at this day and age, you could just generate those with ChatGPT, like write a big ass novel of like, oh, I'm so sad my dad died, or you know, something. To me, you know, feels like there's just some, and that might just be the perception of it, but I feel like you could change that very easily. But that's also something that with the What Remains of Edith Finch, if I do remember correctly, then I played that a little bit, and then I got to some section where you were a cat that, you know, walked outside the window of some room that you were trying to get inside, like some mist puzzle-esque. But that was also sort of an interesting mechanic, but it was like being on rails, so you couldn't just run around and jump and climb wherever you wanted. You have to, you could just push W, and then when you get to a ledge or something, you click some button, if I remember correctly, and then you jump to the next ledge, and so on. And then I quit playing it because at one of these places I got stuck as being the cat because it wouldn't trigger to jump to the next whatever section to trigger the next dialogue. So that also, it feels like a walking simulator feels in so many aspects like a game light. Like you've scaled down the actual interactive part because perceptionally, at least, it feels like that's the hard part to get right. So therefore, just cut it out, and then what you're left with is sort of like the pitch for the game, but there's nothing, no content in there. It's just, or you have the story, but not, you don't play the story, you just listen to it. It could have been an audiobook or a video instead.
True. I was thinking now about these graphic novels. The sick part is that they sell so well, and they're big teams making them, and they're beautiful. I mean, they're usually quite hentai and perverted, but nonetheless, they are a very beautiful art. And it is a shame. I was thinking now what you're talking about, they're being lazy. And then I was thinking, in this case, with these graphic novels, I think that it's just greed. It must be. Like, you sell that many copies, you make that much money, surely you could implement some gameplay and make it even better. But why would you? Because they keep selling. And obviously there's an audience for it who just want these interactive books, if you will. And because it makes no sense, like, you can go to like a game shop here in Tokyo and they sell these to the PlayStation Vita, even. There are loads of them. So surely there is a...
Right.
I mean, wouldn't it be easier to just put them on the smartphone? I guess maybe they are on smartphones as well, but then you'd make less money on the smartphone, maybe. Fuck, I don't know. But I feel like there must be some sort of a greed behind it as well. I'm not sure about Gone Home and Firewatch and all those games, because I mean those are quite bombastic games in terms of development and the way they look and so on, if all assets are made by the team and not asset flips. At least in Firewatch it looks very unique, but nonetheless, when I think about these graphic novels, I would love to see gameplay in those novels. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but that's why I did Red Colony. I was hoping someone would tag along and copy me and make those types of games, but nothing yet. So, but it would be cool.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I guess I haven't played that many visual novels. I think I played one or two, but it feels like at least, I don't know, this is just my perception, but I feel, to me at least, visual novel feel at least sort of honest with what they are. Walking sims feels like you're trying to like tag along and get the audience of 3D games where you can go in three dimension. dimensions, but you won't like commit to doing what these amazing games do, which is have the gameplay part in it. But visual novels, at least they're very honest with, okay, this is just a text adventure. It's basically a book with different endings.
Hmm. True. I was when I played What Remains of Elon Musk. What did you say? Elon Fitz? Elliot? What Remains of Elon Musk?
No, yes.
Was it Elon Fitch? Elon?
Edith Finch.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. What remains of him? When I played that, I was thinking...
Her, I think.
Oh, okay. I have played a game, but I played it for very few minutes. But I was... Sure. When I saw the trailer, I remember, wow, this looks like some sort of Fallout game. This looks awesome.
Yeah.
What you talked about before, it sort of feels like you're tricking people into believing it is a game, but it really isn't. And I was quite disappointed with that because I thought it was going to be like some sort of Fallout type of situation. And the game looks beautiful. And maybe you're right there. Like if they had spent time turning it to an actual game, I think that would be really cool.
I think it's an interesting
story and everything. Gameplay.
Well, I think at least... You know, it feels at least to me easy to say this now, sitting here like a schmuck and, you know, not making the game myself, of course, but it feels to me like you could add something, like add a duck family that you have to take care of or something, and then in the end you get to choose if they live or die or, you know, something. I mean, at least if you take, what was this game called? What's this game about, like the butterfly effect, where...
Heavy Rain?
No, but yes, that also sort of works. But it was this game, let me quickly check here.
Until Dawn? Or... I bet you're gonna say some really obscure, weird game that... I have never heard of that.
No, I think it's sort of known. God damn it. Oh, here it is. Life is Strange. Have you played that?
I heard about it. I'm going to look too. Anyway, what about it?
So basically, what you do is you play... Have you seen the movie The Butterfly Effect?
Yeah, ages ago. Is that with the...
Yeah.
That 17 show guy. Okay.
Yeah. So, basically, the premise of the movie and the game is basically you have this... You start at some point in the game, and then you can actually sort of... things happen in the story, and then you can go back and change... I think you can go back maybe 30 seconds or something, and then you can change some action of the scene you're currently in. To say that you walk on a banana peel and you slip and die. And then you reverse 30 seconds and then you throw it in the paper basket or something. Something like that, but more serious stuff. Anyhow, that at least, I would... almost classify it as a walking sim because you can walk around and you can talk to people and then, you know, make choices and that's the game. But that, I think, absolutely commits to making good gameplay whether you like the game or not. So you have this whole turning back time thing and then you have a lot of, like, choices like how you want to interact with characters. Do I want to be angry at this guy? Yeah, also... comparing to walking simulators, there are actual characters in this game. You have a main character, and you have a lot of NPCs that you can talk to, and you have a lot of characters and development, and it says something about society, and a lot of these things. And then in the end, you can choose either this or that, and then you sort of get to decide how the game ends. And that's something I think that. It feels so weird that walking simulators don't have. They have focused so much on story, but they don't have characters, almost. You know, you have, like, audio tapes scattered around the building, but it's basically, like, doing what we're doing now. We're just recording something that we say, put it in the game, press E to play, and that's it. It's an MP3 player, almost.
But Life is Strange, I looked at some pictures of the game while you were talking.
Yeah.
You said you played the first one.
I haven't played the first one, but I have, I don't know if you could count it, but there is this one guy I follow on YouTube who teaches Japanese, so he played it dubbed in Japanese, and then he translated and explained the grammar as you played it.
I see.
So I've seen the gameplay through that perspective, so I sort of have an idea of what it's like to play it, I guess.
But did I misunderstand you, but you thought that Life is Strange is not like a game, or you said you don't care about the characters. Like,
no, I complimented. I would say that, like, the bad version would be like doing Gone Home. It's just a bunch of MP3 files, and then the best version of a walking simulator would be Life is Strange.
Yeah, because I was thinking that, like, that sounds like the best version too, because if you can turn back time, as you said, if you die in the game, and you obviously you wouldn't care to turn back time if you don't care about the characters, but if they caught your attention and you care about the characters, you would want to turn back time to make it right, to make sure they survive. Huh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I think you're right. But it also reminded me, I was watching, is it called Bear Grylls or something? I think it's Australian or British guy who's in the forest surviving.
Yes, the guy drinking urine.
Yeah. So I was watching an episode with my son, and it's an interactable Netflix show.
Oh, I play that too. Sure. Yeah.
So it kind of sounds like that. I don't know. For me, it's doing that on Netflix. Man, I do not like those interactable films, except the one that was kind of like the Black Mirror stuff. I think they made one episode, because my wife and I were very much invested in that, the Black Mirror show. But when I watched this with my son, I felt like it was sort of interrupting. I don't know, I kind of suck at watching movies, I guess. When I actually sit down and watch them, I get so sucked in that it just felt like I was interrupted by having these choices. I sort of stressed out too.
Yeah.
But with an interactable game, I mean, with a walking sim, you are in charge all the time. So it makes more sense, I think, to have these, like in Life is Strange, if you can turn back time and all that stuff. But when I watched it on Netflix, I'm not a big fan of it.
I would actually say the opposite. I fucking loved it. You know, I think that sort of gets me to a sort of a conclusion about what is a game. And I think if you have the start and then you have the finish, and then the more like individual choices you have, the more I would consider it to be a game. And you know, say like Gone Home. I don't know how much, how big it is. I've played it a little bit, but I really got sick of it. But you know, from that you have like opening the front door, and then you have like opening this door and opening that door, and then eventually you listen to the final MP3 file, and then game over. But if you compare, maybe it takes an hour before you can make a meaningful choice in that game. But I feel that at least those Bear Grylls, like DVD menu-esque games, at least then you have like a, here is the start, you have a clear objective, and then you, you know, get to choose which video you get to see, I guess. But I mean, in the story of the episode, at least it's, you know, win or lose. Feels a lot more clear, and a lot of the choice density is a lot thicker than it is with, for example, Gone Home, in my experience, at least. And the same with, for example, Life is Strange, or, you know, you get to I mean, the more linear it is, the more it is like a video or something like that. And I think that's what makes it less of a game for me.
Yeah, I think maybe you hit the nail on the head there. Maybe that's what makes a game a game. If there is no options there, that takes the gamey stuff away from it. Because then, but in that regard, I guess graphic novels are more like games than Gone Home. Or, yeah, Gone Home.
Yeah, I think in my opinion, I mean, in visual novels, I guess you have the... I don't know, I haven't played the... that much, but at least if you have choices about which boy to date or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, the objective is usually to get laid, so.
Yeah, exactly. but, you know, at least there it feels like, that's also something with Walking Simulator. This becomes like a shit on Walking Simulator's episode, apparently, but, you know, it feels like a little bit, like, that's also something that Walking Simulators just haven't bothered to do, like set up a clear objective. Because usually it's just, oh, you tell this story and blah, 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 and my dog gets sick and la, la, la. But there's no, like, your mission is this. I mean, it doesn't matter if you really did do this or that, but wouldn't it be nice if you at least, you know, affected something in the lore of the game? Like, your, I don't know, dog is sick, or you have to fix your house, or whatever it is. And then, you know, at the end of it, you have changed this, or you have, in Gone Home, I think nothing changes in the lore. You have just, like, understood what happened to your sister, I think, who ran away from home. So you haven't even changed anything. You could just read a synopsis, and that would be the same as the game, almost.
Yeah. Fuck Walking Sims. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that's true. I mean, yeah, I never thought about, I mean, like we said on top of the episode, I never really thought about any of this, except one of us have written it down in a document back in the day. So...
yeah,
but I do like I like to come to some sort of conclusion, and then that we don't do this, you know, you nuance things into oblivion and walk away from it without coming to a final answer. So I like to, what's that called when the judge have a hammer and hit the table and club it in, sort of club in the definition of a game is when you have options. So a walking sim is not a game. You're out, I think.
Yeah, totally. Or, you know, it has to have, having the main, like, gameplay, I think the mechanic itself isn't necessarily the determining factor. You know, walking could be a meaningful thing that gives options. For example, Stanley Parable, I don't know how many choices you have in that, but wouldn't surprise me if it would be like 200-300 at least throughout the game. I think if I find it, I'm gonna find a chart of all the choices you can make in Stanley Parable and display it here on screen. But yeah, I think it's. I really tried to find all of the endings, but I think it's like so many things you can do and things that, you know, this affect this, and then you're up this branch, and then you sort of. Have to restart the whole game to go this other branch. It's really, really fascinating. So I think the gameplay mechanic walking isn't necessarily the problem, I guess. And the same with like visual novels. So like reading and clicking is the main gameplay mechanic. But you could also make a visual novel that would just be a novel and then you just click next page. And that would also fall... not in the category of a game to me. So I think, as you say, options probably is something that, you know, is what determines, is it a game or is it not? Yeah, feels like, yeah, I think that's sort of what frustrates me about walking simulators. This whole, it feels dishonest in a way that you sort of, you want to latch on to the label of it being a game, but then at the same time, you just fail to do the basic thing that makes it a game. It's like if you would do a movie and then there are no... I guess there is actually, I've heard about this documentary that does sort of this. So I don't know what the hell I would categorize that as, but it's, I think it's called Samsara or something like that. It's a documentary that has no voiceover. So it's just a series of, like, I think it's something like where they film iPhone factory and then they film something else, and, you know, the feeling you get from seeing all of these poor people being locked into an iPhone factory working 16 hours a day is sort of what tells the story, I guess. But feels a little bit like that you want to make a movie, but you don't have any characters. Mm. You don't have any lines. You don't have any twist endings. Mm. You know, it's just surveillance footage almost.
Oh, soka. But yeah. That's another thing though, because the experience in of itself but I suppose it's different. You know, when you hear people playing, for example, well, Soulsborne games and so on, the experience is the whole. Like everyone's experience is different because they go to different places and so on, even though there is no story and well, there is story, but. I don't know what else to say.
What else? But I guess, you know, for myself, if I would want to make a game, I think it would be so interesting to talk to somebody who makes walking simulators to know what they're thinking. To me, it feels a little bit like, it feels so in the worst sense of the word, artsy. Like, yeah, it's like modern art. Exactly, that's the issue with walking simulators for me. It's the same thing with, like, you know, you have these classical pieces, like take the Sistine Chapel or whatever it's called in the Vatican. You have this masterpiece that, you know, sort of captures the human form, and, you know, this is it the David statue that Michelangelo cut out of the marble? Like, you can see from some of these marble statues, you can see, like, it looks like actual fabric but cut out of, like, solid marble. And then you have this Jackson Pollock shit where you have, like, just throw a bucket of paint on the canvas and then sell it for $40 billion or something. It's like, you want to do art, but you just fail to do the actual thing that art does, which is, like, communicate an idea of something. It says something about, like, you know, either depict the human condition or something, or, you know, tells a story, or... You know, we used to have paintings of battlefields that are so accurate that we use it as a historical reference. And then you have this, like, it's a white canvas and it's a black line somewhere across it. Sells for $10 million or something. It's like you fail to do the actual thing that is the art form. What you all want to aspire to. You want to aspire to make the highest art possible. And sure, everybody can't do it. I certainly can't. But Soka. With Walking Simulator, it feels the same. Like, you have this, you know, you want to latch on to the art that is games, but you fail to do the game part. And that's fine. It's fine if you want to do that, but it's called a video, not a game.
So what you're saying is that Walking Sims are... the game industry's version of pretentious artists who claim that anything can be art, man.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, that's why it would be so interesting to talk to somebody who makes walking simulators and are passionate about it. because I could be totally wrong, and there is a lot of depth and stuff there that I'm not seeing, because that's again part of the perception spectrum, I guess. So that would be interesting to see what do they, why do they call it a game, and why do, you know, what's the deal with it? Why is this something you want to create, and why don't you want to add more stuff? Is it like you lack the time, or, you know, is it because you can't, or is it because you, it's an active choice not to include the stuff that I would consider makes it more of a game?
Interesting. Before we started recording, I just mentioned to you that I have sort of tapped out a little bit from the gaming industry right now because of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and when there's a game that I'm super excited about, I go offline like more than usual. So I feel like a couple of years ago when The Walking, this is just a feeling, right? It's no fact. Yeah. So I feel like walking sims were a hot topic, let's say 4 or 5 years ago. And that maybe they are a bit pretentious and a little bit artsy partsy, and but I wonder if, are they still being made? Like, I wonder if maybe it came and went, that whole thing. And maybe that's a sign in some way that it's not games and it didn't survive in this gaming landscape. Sort of what I mentioned in some episode many times ago when I said truth will always sort of find a way, or whatever is real or the truth, that's going to survive. And walking sims didn't survive. But hey, I don't know. Maybe there are still a lot of walking sims coming out. But my feeling is that it was like it came and went, and it was very artsy-partsy. And it served a purpose for a short period of time. It was something new and something interesting, something that never been done before for sure. So kudos to that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's, in the grand scheme of things, they were not meant to survive in the industry. And then we will find out soon that it's like hundreds of them coming out every day. So then I'm wrong. But my feeling is that they came and went. But if there is someone who makes them, that I think that would be very interesting. Those would be interesting questions to ask, especially like when we think about this, the remaining of Fitch and Gone Home, Elon, for example. Musk. Yeah. Like, those games are so beautiful, and they're so like...
Yeah.
Borderline AAA. So there's just like, why not? Why not just add that last piece?
Yeah, exactly. That sort of, I agree, that adds to the frustration that, you know, they've done something so good, and that goes for Gone Home too. It's a beautiful game. It's amazing graphics. It's amazing audio. It's amazing, you know, performance. All of it. But it's like, just a little bit, you know, I just thought of something that, you know, in real life we have a walking simulator that managed to turn itself into an actual game. It's called golf. At least there you walk from hole to hole. Yeah. It's just the goal is from 1 to 18, but then at least you have, you know, get the ball in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
If you would add, if you would mod Gone Home and just do a putting green before you can proceed to the next MP3 file, that would make it a game.
Yeah. I was thinking, if you would just mod the game and add a shotgun and some fucking zombies, but that would obviously, well, that would probably ruin the game. Yeah, I suppose they're trying to tell a story there. I can't remember what the game was about because I didn't finish it, but something tells me that zombies is not what they needed in that game.
I vote for a putting green, so if anyone makes that mod, I will happily review it on this podcast.
Yeah. Or in Gone Home, maybe just have like... that would be options, and that would classify itself as a game, according to you. Like, imagine you're walking around in this house, and you have a dart board, and you can throw dart for whatever reason, and pick up some trash, clean up a room. Maybe you walk into a room and she says, my mom left a letter here somewhere, but I can't remember where I put it, and then you have to clean up the room. That would add
it could be something like that. Exactly. It could, you know, tie into the lore. I mean, even that is it called Unpacked. Let's see here. It was a game about unpacking. Like you're moving and then you unpacking. Yeah, obviously it's called unpacking. But anyhow, it's about unpacking. So you have moved to a new place, and the goal of the game, as I understand, I haven't played it, but I would love to, is that you unpack the boxes, the moving boxes, put the shoes in the shoe rack, put the toothbrush in the bathroom, and so on. And then that sort of tells a story. But then at least there's a gameplay element there. That sort of have to find where everything goes. And sure, it sounds easy. You're going to put the clothes on the clothes rack. But there's all sorts of fun story elements, apparently, that you have in there. And there's also a bit of a culture element to it. So, for example, some people bring shoes into the house and some people leave them in the hallway. You know, some people have the washing machine in the kitchen. Some of them have them in the bathroom. So there's apparently, I heard there's a lot of stuff that they didn't expect that were issues, because some players from different parts of the world didn't understand how to complete this level, because putting this thing here doesn't make sense in their country, for example. So that's super interesting, I think.
And the purpose is to figure out who you are? Is that the sort of goal?
No, I think it's also sort of this, you know, you don't... That's also, I would classify this as a game just because of that element, fit the right thing. It's like basically like this, I'll show some stock footage in the background, but imagine you're this kid and you want to put the square thing in the square hole, the star thing in the star shape. It's basically that, but for, you know, don't put the, I think you can put a toaster in the bathtub and there's some funny moment I saw from the trailers. That's kind of funny, but, you know, put the right thing where it's supposed to be, but then you don't change the story. It's rather that you experience, I think it's something like, oh, all of a sudden, next place you move to, maybe there's no dad's things anymore or something. But I think then the difficulty of the game makes the story that it's going to be different for everyone, because... this person figured out immediately where all of the hair things were, and maybe if you're a guy, then you don't get that or something, whatever it is.
I was thinking as you were talking about it that it sounds like, well, I was expecting that it's just one house you're moving into and you don't know who you are, and that the last thing you do is to put up a mirror and sort of you can see yourself.
Oh my god, that would be fucking amazing. Yeah.
But then I got annoyed about my own idea, because then I thought, well, I was probably gonna use some bullshit woke shit. And then I was thinking, that would be cool, though, if it was like, when you see yourself, you're some, I don't know, redneck trucker guy, and then the shit you have put up in the house make no sense to who you are.
Yeah.
But that could be a big twist and so on. And then I sort of like the idea again. But, it sounds interesting,
though. Man, I'm gonna keep that in my head for something, maybe. You know, that would be amazing. You know, you could do like everything from like you are the monster thing, where you see a bunch of, I don't know, broken this or that, and then eventually, oh shit, it's you. Or maybe you could do something like, oh shit, you're in prison or something.
Maybe you can Kojima the whole thing and hack into the user's webcam, so when you see yourself in the mirror, it turns on the webcam and you just see yourself. Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
You are the monster.
Yeah, a lot of things you could do with that, I think. But that's the thing with with fucking walking simulators, that there is so many, as we said earlier, that's part of what's so frustrating, that these are, in all honesty, so talented people. Like, I couldn't make Gone Home, to be completely honest. I couldn't make the 3D things. I couldn't make the, all of the audio, probably. There's a lot of things that are just amazing. So why not just go a little further and then just satisfy everybody? Or it doesn't have to be your kind of game, but at least it could be a game. You could do... Oh, you're so close to something real. I mean, not joking, you could do a dartboard or a fucking putting green and it would be like a real game. Or maybe you have to have this amount of score on the dartboard to be able to progress or something. It annoys me so much. Oh.
You could, like, I feel like we're pissing on Gone Home all the time, and none of us have actually played it, which makes no sense. I was just thinking, maybe there's a cat in the house, and I remember the house was empty, so maybe you had to feed a cat, and then you look through the fridge, and all the food is old, and then that's to the lore that, whoa, now you know the house has been empty for a long time, and you look at the date, and then you can look at the calendar on the wall, and you see that it just crosses until the May 25th, and now it's May 29th. Well, whatever. There's a lot of things you could have added to make it turn it into a game. But according to the House of Games, what is a game chart? Gone Home is not a game.
Not a game.
So on that note, go home. Go home. That was supposed to be a segue to wrapping up the episode, unless you have something to say.
Yes. I would say disclaimer, if the author of Gone Home listens to this, I don't hate you. You made an amazing game, but you could just put in a putting green or something. Full disclosure, I did see a speedrun of it once after trying to play it. So I tried to play it, and then I just got frustrated that it, you know, got nowhere to, is what I felt like. Felt like nothing happened. And then I watched a playthrough, and I'm not gonna spoil it, but the ending felt so fucking disappointing, and I felt like, oh, thank fuck that I didn't complete this game. This ending, oh my god. Like, make a game. But again, I don't hate the guy or gal who made Gone Home. It's well done. I just feel like there's potential there that you could make something amazing.
All right.
Cool. Yes. I think that will do it. So leave a voicemail if you have opinions about walking simulators. I should mention also something that we did mention yesterday during the episode that got deleted and butchered to hell, that we actually got a comment, so I'm going to just read that again.
Yeah, just one thing, Otto, before we continue. Yeah. We can't even make a fucking podcast episode. Compare that to guys who made Gone Home.
Yeah. Well, at least I would say, we're honest with this is linear. We can't, there's no
this
alternate
ending.
This is
not a game. If you're listening to this,
no,
and you think
exactly.
This is a game.
This is just, like, imagine, like, we say, like, oh, this is a podcast about game development, and then there's just the recorded audio of a graphic card fan going for an hour, who say, like, oh, this is some, like, blah, blah, blah. You know,
good comparison,
at least we're honest. This is, Yeah, honestly, I guess, is the point. Don't market yourself as a game if it's just linear. That's what I want to put out there. Yeah, but anyhow, we got a comment. A nice comment. Haha, take that, Gone Home. Okay, anyhow. Sorry, Gone Home. It's a great game. I love it. Villageman76, he spells his name kind of interesting. I'll display it on here above me. But it says, awesome video for episode 65, which was the last episode. Awesome video. I'm a game designer and like this content on Rumble. Keep up the great work. So, you know, that's at least we're doing the right thing. So,
thank you for the comment, Villageman.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much. Much appreciated. And please, if we're doing the same shit that Gone Home is doing, please tell us so we can fix it. Yeah. Anyhow, don't troll on the creators of Gone Home. They're probably nice people and deserve love and affection. So, if the creators want to come on this show and explain... explain themselves. No, if they wanna, you know, explain why they did the game.
Don't burn the bridge down. There's still a small chance they might come on the show and explain what a walking sim is and why they do it.
But seriously, I do want to hear what the game is about. Please, come on the show. I think there's no chance that they're coming on, but they're most welcome to. Mm. I would love to hear it from their perspective, as I said. Oh my god. Whew, I think in hindsight, I think this was actually a better episode than with the one we did yesterday. So happy about that.
Yeah.
All right. So send in a voicemail if you have any opinions. What else? Leave a comment. Love to hear what you feel about this episode. Is it just a bunch of bullshit, or did you actually gain anything from listening to this? We'd love to hear it. Mm. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ruin, for being my amazing co-host, as always. Thank you for Gone Home for making a game. I still appreciate it. Mm. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.
Sayonara!